This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here in BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Arif. It's fantastic to be back again.
And then over there, of course, keeping quiet for now, is Arif Ruse, the man with the news.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Not so much news today, though, of course. We've got a show in two parts. It's a used car buying guide. Today, we're dealing with the BMW 5 Series, the E60. That's coming up first. And, of course, we've got the E60 used car buying guide. All coming up in two parts. If you do miss any part of this show, you can always catch the podcast a little bit later on. So, who wants to kick us off then?
You want to start, Daniel?
Oh, yes, of course, I can start. No problem. BMW E60. What a gem. Designed by the very famous Mr. Chris Bangle. Now, if you're a diehard BMW fan, you have heard his name before. You have probably read about him over and over from between 2005 to 2010 because he was doing all the BMW designs. Before that, Chris Bangle used to work for Fiat.
Oh.
And he's the guy who designed the Fiat Coupe, which till today looks so fresh, so exciting, and yet rusting.
As with most Italian cars,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That is true. I mean, like, he brought on this thing called flame surfacing design. He introduced that with the earlier 7 Series, the E65. But this one is the E60, and it wasn't...
Wait. What's flame surfacing? Speak to me like I'm a four-year-old.
It doesn't mean the car is on fire, Richard.
Well, I assumed as much.
So, basically, the way it's been explained to me in various different articles and books is that flame surfacing, back then in the 90s, all cars were kind of like flat panel, and maybe they had like a body line that went right through the car, right?
A little bit square.
Very square. This flame surfacing was kind of a technique where BMW could press panels in any shape they wanted. So they could create body panels that have really many, many strong creases and indents in them. They could be convex and concaved at the same time. That kind of revolutionized the car design industry, per se, I think. But yeah, it's back then it was super controversial. But right now, you know, every car kind of has this sort of like flame surfacing philosophy where cars tend to look more like polished pebbles.
Polished pebbles. Well, thank you for the history lesson.
Let me also add, you know, flame surfacing also means that you can't go to your little Chinese workshop body panel guy to knock your panel if you have an accident.
Got it.
So you need to change the panel, which means repeat business for the car manufacturer. Chris Bangle created a design that kept reoccurring income coming back to BMW Munich.
But like I said, you know, this design was quite controversial back then because it made all BMWs, all new BMWs, look very like big and not the nimble kind that we used to see BMWs make. So in comparison to the previous generation, the E39, this car looked way huge. Today, I think it looks really great. What do you guys think? I think it hasn't aged at all.
Exactly. 15 years later, this car still looks fresh, still looks inviting. And the best part is, you know, when you look at a new F10 BMW 5 Series, which is 10 years in the making and it's done so well and they've sold so many. And if you park it side by side, they're so very different, yet they both look like they came from the same era. It doesn't look like you're driving an old car when you drive the E60, as long as it's got a nice coat of paint on it and some fresh wheels on it.
This car did come out in 2003, which is right now 17 years old.
Right.
Almost as old as you.
Almost as old as me, yeah. I think I just started out in grade school and back then. It did come with all the technology that 2003 had to offer. So a lot of the car's regular wires were replaced with space-age fiber optic cables.
Oh, my word.
Wow, yeah. Fiber optic cables today is like everywhere these days. But back then, it was a huge thing because it could transfer data so much faster. And all of this fiber optic cables went into a central brain, which powered stuff like BMW's first ever iDrive system, which controlled the climate systems and the navigation. But, you know, back then in 2003, navigation systems in general would read directions to you and you had to put a DVD in inside the CD player.
What?
You could, yeah, it was kind of weird. But this was the first time that you could have maps in the navigation that you could actually see. It was quite bizarre, especially at a time when, you know, people were still using Nokia 3310s and Motorola's were kind of hip as well.
Hey, Motorola is still hip. Don't you diss the Motorola.
This 2003 to 2010 BMW 5 Series did debut with a lot of common technologies that we see here today, which are like heads-up display, adaptive cruise control that could stop and go as well, voice commands as well, and even stuff like active steering, which makes the car easier to steer around town but more stable on the highway. So those things are very, very cool. I think the coolest thing about this 5 Series, though, was the amount of variations that they made, which made it become a very, very popular entry point for a lot of BMW owners today, because you had four-cylinder diesels that company fleets would normally use. You had the naturally aspirated and turbo six-cylinders, which families love to use and car enthusiasts love to use. And then you had three different V8s and a wailing V10 that screamed and revved all the way to 8,000 RPM from the BMW M5. The 5 Series got facelifted around about 2007, but the pre-facelift models were quite chunky looking cars. It didn't debut any new engines, so it carried over previous generation 5 Series engines, which are known to be BMW's more reliable engines today. But the facelift models, also known as the LCI models that came in 2007, looked far smarter and came with LED lights and new engines, but perhaps it was too little too late for the 5 Series. Yeah.
The biggest difference was the light treatment, because rear LED lights and front, you know, with the revised light system and of course with the new rims, immediately people recognize it as the facelift, not just something that was quick nip and tuck. It made a big difference to the look, especially at night.
Was this the series when they made the smaller kidney grills on the front? Or had that happened before this?
I think that was before this.
This was BMW before they went bigger and bigger with the kidney grills. In fact, speaking about the lights, actually, they became quite an iconic design with all of these light bars that come these days. And BMW were the first ones to kind of popularize that light design and actually focus car design to include light design, which was fantastic, really. Everybody's doing that nowadays. I think, you know, there's a lot to like about this car other than its spec. Drivetrains, they had one of everything. They had the four-cylinder, the six-cylinder, V8s, and the V10. And the V10 especially, you can't talk about the E60 BMW 5 Series without talking about the BMW M5. This M5 came with a 507 horsepower S85, as they call it, V10. That was apparently derived from the BMW Sauber F1 car.
Correct.
I mean, you basically had an F1 car for the road.
And a proper four-seater.
A luxurious four-seater as well. But the main issues with these V10 M5s, as if you are a BMW enthusiast, you would know that these engines broke literally all the time. It's being known today as the most unreliable and the most broken BMW ever made, mainly because you could have a brand new M5 with 20,000 kilometers on it, and it could still break the same way as a 200,000 kilometer BMW M5.
The problem is these engines were too sensitive. They were made with motorsports engineering involved. And, you know, motorsports engines are not built to last for street use. You know, they're built to take a couple of races and then you change. Take a couple of races, then you change, you know?
One of those problems with that motorsport derivation, I guess, is the rod bearing failure. A lot of engineers have found that these rod bearings were just connected millimeters too tight. They were too close to each other. So when they expanded and contracted, they would start scratching and scraping against each other. And when that happens, it could cause your engine to literally, as many people said, grenade itself.
You got lots of little pieces of metal and filings everywhere and getting into all the nooks and crannies and...
Yeah, it's a nasty situation, but people kept saying this is the best car you should never buy, or you're the best car that you should never own,
right?
Mainly because of that fact. But in general, you know, despite the BMW M5, this 5 Series E60 is known for its driving characteristics. It has a wonderful ZF 6-speed gearbox that is included in the Jaguar XF that we talked about last week.
The 40,000 ringgit one?
Yes, the 40,000 ringgit one. And we will reveal the price of this car in the next segment.
We shall indeed. On that high note, let's take a short break. And when we come back, it will be the used car buying guide for the BMW 5 Series E60. You're tuned in to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, that car show that we have here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone lines with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Arif.
And of course, Arif Ruse, the man normally with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, everybody.
Now then, we've spoken in length about the wonderful side of the BMW 5 Series E60. Some of the issues that it had and stuff. We got to the BMW M5, of course, the greatest car that you should never buy. But speaking about buying stuff, obviously, people who want to go out and buy a 5 Series BMW, particularly the E60, what are some of the things that they should be looking at and how expensive are they?
Good news is, even before the MCO and this economic crisis and everything else, the BMW E60 prices were already low. And when I say low, I'm talking about a fraction of their new price. But of course, BMWs are known to have expensive maintenance after a few years, and they're known to have very expensive parts after a few years. But actually, with the E60, because there were so many made and there were so many sold, parts are not that expensive. A little bit of history first. I know we talked earlier about the E60, but interesting fact, the Asian launch for the BMW E60 was actually done in Malaysia. At that time, BMW Malaysia had been set up. They had a new office. Before that, it was the importer, but this time BMW Malaysia, so the Germans were here. And when the E60 was going to be introduced, they thought, let's do the Asian launch in Malaysia. And they used the Mandarin Oriental Hotel for the presentation of this car.
You've got good memory, Daniel.
Because I'm old.
Elephants never forget.
And they did the Asian media test drive. So they brought in all these journalists from Asia. And at the launch, they had a few models to show. The 520, the 525, 530. These were all petrol engines. And later on, they showed us the 530 diesel. Now, today I want to talk a little bit more about the 530 diesel because there's been a lot of stigma against diesel vehicles and pollution and everything else. But when this car came out, we were using Euro 1M diesel in Malaysia. So this car had a lot of problems because the diesel engine was designed for Euro 2. But because we had Euro 1M and then later we had Euro 2M, but you know, Euro 2M is not Euro 2, it's Euro 2 Malaysia. So we're still below the preferred fuel to run a car. And with an engine this sensitive and this high technology at the time, the diesel quality caused a lot of problems. Injectors were getting clogged, diesel pumps were failing. I know you'll see people, you know, bombing down the highway in a 530 diesel. And how do you know? Because there'll be black smoke. Now, if the car is parked, how do you know? Don't have to look at the badge. Just look at the exhaust. Around the exhaust on the bodywork, there'll be black smoke. So it was that obvious. Over the years, the 530D has been given a raw deal in the used car market. Now, things have changed because a few years ago, BHP introduced Euro 5 diesel. They were the first to introduce imported Euro 5 diesel. So the moment that came in, a lot of BMW diesel owners, including the X5 and the 3 Series, they all suddenly said, great news, we got good quality diesel. And immediately the values of these cars were not plummeting anymore. They were stabilizing.
Yeah.
And people started buying them. And some owners who were just too upset just said, never mind, take my car and go. But the next owner said, hey, I got a good deal. And the thing is, the 530D had 500 Newton meters of torque. That was the same power output of the M5 V10 petrol. A lot of people didn't realize how powerful this car is. But of course, with the diesel, the pickup is not like the M5. So you do about 7 seconds, assuming that everything is running perfectly. You can get about 7.5 seconds from 0 to 100, which is very impressive for a car this size and a car this age. Now let's look at some of the prices that are available in the market. I just did the research the last few days and I was a little bit shocked at how much lower the values have gone.
Just to put a benchmark, last week's Jaguar XF was a 3-liter V6 and it cost 40,000 ringgit. So how much could this be?
Okay, but the Jaguar X was about 10, 11 years old, maybe 12 years old.
Yeah.
Now, this car I'm talking about is 14 to 15 years old. Now, a 520i base model will start at about 28,000 before negotiation.
Wow.
Okay? Now, that's a local assembled 520. Now, you must always remember the imported version, because after a few years, the grey importers will bring in a lot of these cars because of its popularity. So the grey import will have a little bit more toys. They'll have sunroof. They'll have bigger wheels. By now, things could have changed with the past many owners. But if you're looking at a one-owner or two-owner car, you're looking at about 30 to 32,000 for an imported version, which is better. Now, the 525i Sport petrol also is a little bit more at 35,000. Now, the M5, the one which RF likes, there is one in the classifieds for sale at 78,000 ringgit. Now, here's the best part. I thought I'll just give it a call. So I called the dealer, and immediately on the phone, he offered it to me at 70,000 ringgit. 8,000 ringgit discount just by using the phone. So that shows how difficult it is to sell this car. But now let's come back to the diesel. The E60 diesel was fully imported. Malaysia did not local assemble this car. Now, they are going for just under 29,000 ringgit.
That is hilariously cheap.
And the best part is, again, I tried my luck on the phone. And instead of getting a dealer, I got actually the owner himself. I managed to bring the price down to 26,000.
And this is for which model again?
The 530 diesel.
M5 torque for that little amount of money.
And it's a fully imported car and you've got good quality diesel in Malaysia. The only problem when you buy a car like this is there are certain things that you've got to look out for. Number one, good news, they don't rust because the bodywork was really well done. Unlike the previous model, the E39. If you see a car rusting, there's a good chance it's been in a few bad accidents. Number two, because of the flame surface design, you can spot accident damage very easily. But if all the panels have been changed, whoever did the work claimed insurance and did a good job. I mean, the car is 15 years old. You can't expect a car that's been, you know, totally accident-free. With a car like this, whether you like it or not, even if the owner has given you the full service history, immediately change all the lubricants, gear oil, engine oil, whatever that's got oil in it, just change it.
It's worth noting that also with these cars, especially in that era, a lot of the owner's manuals say change your engine oils every 15,000 kilometers or something like that. Don't do that. Just do your regular 7,500 or 10,000 kilometer oil changes.
For continental cars, below 10,000.
And they always say never change your transmission oil, but do change them.
Yes. So another thing you have to understand with the E60, when you're buying a used E60, I'm not saying this is a common problem, but I've seen this problem years ago, and I know for a fact it still happens with some dealers, not all dealers. When you're going to see the car, before you test drive, like you put the key in and then you pre-start ignition, you get all the lights on the dashboard. And then when you ignite, you'll see, okay, one by one, the lights will go off. Now, a lot of times, these cars have electrical problems. And, you know, because of the age and because they go to aftermarket stereo installers, a rear brake sensor, some guy who repaired your power window under a tree over the years, maybe your heads-up display didn't work, maybe your aircon was not working, you send it to a shoddy aircon guy and he messed around with the wiring. There will be issues like this. Now, some used car dealers, because all these little warning lights come on, which means they will remove the dashboard, go underneath, and unplug those lights.
So that when you start it in future, the lights don't come on, you don't get the warning signs, and you don't necessarily know what the problem is.
Exactly. So when you do the pre-start, make sure all the lights light up.
Good tip.
So if you do the pre-start and you see a couple of lights missing, and then later when you do a full ignition, if the lights don't come on, this guy has done something funny lah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because in the ignition part of all cars, all the lights are supposed to come on to show you that it's functioning, right?
It's like telling you, hey, we're all alive and working well, you know?
Yeah.
And then to make things perfectly sure, because even though you're buying a car for 20 or 1,000 ringgit, the repair on something like this can go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000. That's all cash. You don't want to be taking out your credit card or your children's education fund to repair this car. So make sure you tell the dealer, if you really want to sell me this car, allow me to get a foot diagnostic done with my preferred mechanic.
Yeah.
So drive it to the mechanic that you trust. Let him plug in the diagnostic tool. Check and see whether everything is running. Of course, a car this old, it will not be perfect. If you want a perfect car, go and buy a new car. Mm. But as long as the room for error is a couple of a maybe 1,000 or 2,000 ringgit to, you know, change lubricants and maybe reset something, that is fine. Don't expect car that's, you know, straight away going to run perfectly. Understand, this is a BMW. It's like getting a rescue dog, you know, from the park. You don't know where the dog has been. You don't know how the previous owner looked after the dog. You know, maybe the dog has been abused a bit, but the pound has looked after the dog. But there's only so much you can do, right?
Mm. Definitely, the 530D is a very fantastic car. And I would say similar things about the 530i, the equivalent petrol version, because it's similarly equipped. But the way these cars are priced these days, the 520i being in the ballpark of 25,000 ringgit, is bound to attract a lot of people. And I think I want to spend some time talking about what's currently available in the market for these cars as well. Obviously, the 530i, the 530d are slightly rare because I get the feeling that its owners don't want to sell them.
True.
But all in the market, there are 520i's, 523i's, the 520d's as well. I personally think, you know, they're selling for 25 to 35,000 ringgit, something like that. I personally think they're not worth bearing the extra cost to maintain them because they're not really that special cars. They're not that well equipped. I would suggest, you know, just buy a secondhand 3-year-old Honda Civic or something like that. You'd be much better off that way. The other car that's very, very popular among this E60 is the 525i petrol, which is, you kind of have to look for really, really good examples because they are really, really popular.
But the 525i Sport LCI, that one, has got so many in the used car market right now.
And the funny thing with that is that after a few years of its introduction, maybe 4 or 5 years, the BMW 525i started to depreciate a lot more than the equivalent like E-Class.
True.
And suddenly all of these people who started looking at this car thought, this is a car that is affordable enough for me. And people began to modify it quite a lot. They put like M5 body kits, which are honestly to me quite tasteless. You get these wheels that don't fit out well, and then sometimes they put in Android screens to replace the old BMW iDrive system. Yeah. And because they use the fiber optic cables, you know, these wires go everywhere. It's impossible to get them right unless you replace it with another BMW system.
Correct.
Generally, the 525i, go for it if you can find a completely non-modified one. If you want a 525i that's been slightly modified, be kind of wary of those. Of course, the BMW M5, they cost 70,000 ringgit, but only buy them if you've got 70,000 ringgit literally to burn. Because it's going to break. It's going to break. I would generally say that when you buy a BMW, always go for the facelift models because they've been fixed with all its quirks. All the interiors have been updated with better materials and all that stuff. It's typical with all BMWs.
Actually, it's typical with all German brands.
So if you're looking for an E60... 5 Series, go for the model years between 2007 and above because these are the cars that come with maybe slightly more unreliable engines, but they are more powerful and they come with the iDrive system. They come better equipped as well. But having said that, if you want a simple modern BMW that looks good, drives really great, the pre-LCI models between 03 and 06 do just fine.
And that's where we are. So you're on the fence somewhere. A BMW drives past, and then a Jaguar drives past, and the last week's show, and it's this week's show. You're given the choice. Which one do you pick, Daniel?
Okay, very simple. Because I'm you know, Malaysian, I will buy the BMW.
Okay.
I think for me, I will go for the BMW as well, especially if it's the 530i and 530d. I mean, the Jag is supposedly better driving and all that stuff, but the 5 Series E60, I think it still looks beautiful.
I'm going to take the Jag every single time.
Yeah, I think I have to add, you know, the Jag looks very dignified, very classy. You know, the problem is when I want to resell the Jaguar, it won't be as easy as a BMW.
Rich, yeah. You say you'd pick the Jag because...
Purely based on looks. I've seen enough of these E60s around.
Too many.
Yeah, too many. I mean, the only one that might make me change my mind is if it was like an Alpina B5 or something that came past. Okay, that looks a little bit different. That'll be about it. Other than that, yeah, it's the Jaguar.
Do you guys have any last words about this car?
Well, whoever that's listening to us and suddenly, you know, motivated to go and buy one, please understand there's so many for sale. Take your time. Don't jump into the first great deal you see unless you're so taken by the salesperson or the owner. But shop around, look at what's available, and then make a very, very intelligent decision.
Thank you very much for that, chaps. Very enlightening. I've learned a lot today. You have been tuned in to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. We have, of course, been giving you a whole bunch of details about going out and if you're thinking about buying a second-hand car. Today's review is about the BMW E65 series. Of course, we had a bit of a buying guide at the end of it. And if you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast wherever you get them from in just a few minutes. This has been Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Arif Ruse and Daniel Fernandez. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.